you make a deal with Netflix and you don't have money that comes into you forever. You get paid and then money 20% more or 30% more, but that's it.
It didn't come natural to me. There's so many things that I think about now I wish I had known when I was younger.
What I believe resonates with people who are particularly now is content that has some sort of meaning to it. It's more than just pure entertainment.
And so suddenly MTV was the only thing, it seemed, in the whole world, and all of Hollywood and everybody else was taking their cues from this startup.
I did not know a single writer when I became a writer. I think if you're trying to become a writer from someplace other than Los Angeles and New York, I still think that's really difficult.
Welcome to Hollywood Wolfpack with Kaya Alexander, featuring in-depth interviews and insights with professionals in the entertainment business. Get everything you need to navigate your above-the-line career right here. This podcast is often recorded live in front of Kaya students in the Entertainment Business School. You can find out more at entertainmentbusinessschool.com. Hollywood Wolfpack is the new face of entertainment business wisdom. Enjoy the show.
All right. Hi, and welcome. I'm your host, Kaya Alexander, here today with my very, very special guest. I'm so excited for you to meet her. Delina Brooks is a hyphenate whose work marries story with music and champions troubled women who save themselves. Nominated for 3 Isadora Duncan Awards, Delina won in 2016 for Outstanding Ensemble Performance in An Open Love Letter to Black Fathers, which she wrote, produced, directed, scored, choreographed, and starred in. Delina is a Disney Writers Program finalist and a resident artist at the Kennedy Center. She has choreographed dance for Chance the Rapper on Saturday Night Live, Kanye West at Coachella, and many more, and was movement director for Casa de Spirits, a play written and directed by Roger Guenver Smith. Her work has been commissioned, presented by Yerba Buena Center for the Arts, National Performance Network, Counterpulse Theater, and many more. Landing in Los Angeles from Oakland in 2018, she's moonlighted as a showrunner's assistant and director's assistant for shows on ABC, NBC, Fox, Freeform, Hulu, and HBO. Delina in the house.
That is so cringy to hear out loud. Oh my God. Hi.
Wait. Can you receive the accomplishments in your own bio? Is that what's cringy about it for you?
I can, you know, but I hear those things and I'm like, yeah, I have done a lot and I have been rejected a lot. Like, you don't hear or you don't read about all of the kind of dark nights of the soul that we have to survive and experience on this path and on the way to, you know, getting, you know, certain recognitions and getting to work with certain people. It's such a rocky road. And there are so many things to be grateful for. And so I've never heard that written out loud. Read out loud. And so that was the first time. Yes, I will receive.
I love that you kicked it off, though, talking about failure, because this is our week in the Entertainment Business School where we've really been talking a lot about mental health and how do you take care of yourself in this very, very difficult career, you know, that is Hollywood, that can be so cutthroat, that seems to be going through an industry-wide, you know, contraction right now. What tools have you found that have helped you navigate those dark nights?
Kaya, I specifically created the 5-point compass to help folks navigate the soul side of the business, right? We learn about strategy and we learn about the importance of developing our craft and learning the business side and networking and meeting people and getting in the game. But we don't hear much talk about, like, are we betraying ourselves by taking this gig? Are we taking care of ourselves, you know, in this job? How is our heart? Like, what is our gut saying to us? Are we meant to stay here in this role or is it time to go? Has this relationship expired? You know, should we still be in this relationship or should we is it time to pivot and do something else? And so, you know, I developed the 5-point compass, the 5 points being the heart, gut, spirit, universe, and the ancestors, and just have found ways to continue to re-engage and be in communication with the natural and the supernatural world, quite frankly, to make sure that the choices that I'm making and the steps that I'm taking are, they're not just toward the thing that I want, but they're still in alignment with who I truly am and with the values that I carry. So that's one. The other thing is I have a wolf pack, you know, which I know Kaya talks a lot about. I'm from the Bay Area. I have on my Hella Bay sweater right now because go Niners, right? It's Super Bowl weekend. But I came here to LA in 2018, and I come from a super close-knit, very nourishing and nurturing artist community in Oakland and San Francisco. And I have a specific crew. We call ourselves Lady Magic. Don't laugh at us. But we are a crew of 11 women, about the same age, different backgrounds. And since 2011, so we're going into our 13th year, I believe, we rotate hosts every single month and get together and hold space for each other. So it's, you know, it's a time to celebrate each other. It's a time to support each other if we're grieving loss, which so many of us have grieved losses over the last few years. A lot of folks are business owners or leaders of some sort. And so we bounce ideas off of each other. We ask for input. We laugh. We go to concerts and do all of the things and eat together and do those things too. So it's important to use our wolf packs, not just as a way to advance our career or advance ourselves, right? But to stay grounded and to stay kind of connected to people, you know, maintain that kind of sense of belongingness that is not directly tied to our careers.
Yes. Is that in person for you? Are you in the same city?
So now, since I've moved to LA, I've obviously missed a few of them. But thankfully, there is no silver lining for 2020. But I will say in 2020, we started meeting on Zoom, right? Yeah. Because we had to. And so sometimes we'll incorporate that and I'll FaceTime in. Or, you know, there are several times where I was able to drive down and or drive up and join them too. But we're, you know, we also still keep in contact outside of our gathering, you know what I mean? Yeah. But they still are very much so present in my life. And then there are a few LA folks that I have who I've met through the Disney program finalist group, and folks I've read who I've met on shows who were also assistants or were writers, and two of them now are doing very well, have an overall deal, another has sold multiple shows. So it's really nice to kind of see that trajectory in really a short amount of time, but they're the ones who I'm like exchanging my scripts with, like, can I get some feedback? And they're asking me, can I get some feedback? You know, what do you think about this idea? And we just kind of encourage each other through those dark nights of the soul that only people inside of this industry really can understand.
Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? And so it sounds like you're comfortable being vulnerable with each other about what's really going on.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and to be transparent, I am a double Pisces Cancer rising for anybody who knows what that means. I'm all water. So I have to, okay, Gary, I see you. So, you know, so it, vulnerability is, I can't get around it. I can't get around what I really feel in the moment. And it took me some time though, to discover that that too is a superpower. And so I incorporate that type of, component into the 5-point compass and into all of my relationships. I don't know how not to.
I want to talk to you more about this because in our industry, it's so tempting I should say, I have been so tempted at times to put on the face. My friend Juliet Landau calls it happy, busy, pretty, that this industry always needs you to just be happy, busy, pretty. Mm. And it's hard to be real sometimes. Like, when do you take the mask down of that really hurt, that failure, that thing that didn't go that I was had my whole soul invested in, you know, and where you're able to sort of let those masks down. And I'm curious how that has been for you. Do you feel like there are moments where you can't be vulnerable?
I'll tell you the first thing that story made me think of, Kaya, and it was during the finals interview of Disney. So yeah. I know many of you have applied to fellowships for the Disney one specifically. There's the submission, then there's the semifinals, then there's the first final round interviews, and then there's the final round interviews where it's with a panel. And by that time, you're just exhausted, right? Because you submit two scripts, first of all, and then you do all the stuff, the narrative, all the things, and then you do all the tap dancing and all the interviews. The final interview came, and that morning I was exhausted and I was feeling like I was a little doubtful. Some self-doubt was creeping in. So about an hour before the interview, rather than just like showing up like I would this interview or any other one and be myself and just kind of be present in the moment, I took that hour to write down everything that I wanted to say. It's almost like I didn't remember that I'm the one that's going to have the answers anyway. So I had to make notes for myself to be myself in the interview. And I recognized that it was me not wanting to be vulnerable with those in this final round. For whatever reason, I had talked myself out of my own sense of really worthiness of being in that moment. And I felt as though I sabotaged myself. It turns out I didn't. I ended up being first alternate. So basically, okay, all these people apply. They want 12 people. I was the 13th. I didn't even know a first alternate existed. Just so that you guys know, it does. And that means one person doesn't go through, or if they get cast before the program starts, the first alternate is swept into the program. I didn't know that. Now we all do. So I didn't do, you know, I did what I did as well as I could do, but that was a moment that, looking back, I'm like, oh, I don't ever want to do that again. I don't ever want to talk myself out of, make myself think that being prepared trumps being present.
Oh, wow. That's really profound.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So presence for you, like, does that give you permission to just tap deeper into your truth?
I mean, I think presence allows me to like look at all of the boxes that are on this Zoom right now while I'm talking. It makes me not think about things that I maybe thought that I want to say because people are listening, right? And actually sit and hear the question that you're asking. And
we're recording live in front of my students of the Entertainment Business School. So that when Delina says all the boxes on Zoom, we have a whole audience of students who are listening.
That's right. But I can, you know, I can kind of engage and see that heads are nodding or, you know, I can't, there's this kind of eye to eye thing that's happening, and I can just kind of be in my body and in the moment with you all rather than in my head. It's like when I get in my head and when a lot of us get in our head, it's like, that's when we get in our way.
Oh boy, is that the truth for me? And that's the legacy of working with Gary Shandling too. We talked about that all the time. What do you have that gets you out of your head? Is that dance for you?
Ooh, It was dance for me. I haven't danced in a couple of years, if I'm being honest. But I will say the thing that dance did for me was it shook up. I started dancing when I was late. When I was older, let me start there. I started dancing around 20 or 21. I discovered African dance at the Malunga Center in Oakland. Again, shout out to the Bay. I'm sorry, I can't help it. And it was at a time when I was quite self-destructive, right? I was making really poor choices, and I knew that I wanted something different, something more, but I didn't quite know how to get it. And I literally one day at San Francisco State University, I was walking down the hall of the gym building and I heard drums, and I literally followed the call of the drum. And I found an African dance class. It was actually a Congolese dance class. Yes, San Francisco State University, to someone in the chat. And Malunga Kaskalord was teaching a class. And I saw these beautiful Black and brown women like gliding across the room and like swaying their hips and, you know, all of this like joy that was, you know, emanating from their spirits and from their bodies as they danced across the floor. And I was like, oh, I want to do that. I want to do this. And so I ended up signing up for that class. From there, Malunga introduced me to what was then the Alice Arts Center. Now that building is named after him. And I was in class regularly. I was crossing that bridge from San Francisco to Oakland multiple times a week. And then I started traveling across the country to go to dance conferences. And what I recognized in hindsight was that practice, that discipline, that dedication of taking these classes just because it felt good, it started shaking up all of that toxic energy that was inside of me. And it separated me from those more destructive behaviors, right? Like I can't be taking these dance classes if I'm drunk, to be quite honest, if I'm hungover, right? I can't make the same types of decisions that I was making when I was a little wayward if I want to show up in this class and be my best. The two don't go together. And so slowly but surely, those things started to melt away. And then I found myself performing professionally and then entering the theater world. And then my entire trajectory took off. So truly, African dance is the thing that absolutely changed my life. I've said that before, and I will always say that. African dance was the thing that changed my life. I'm a writer and a producer because I was an African dancer.
Wow. Okay. So take us across that bridge from African dance to writing and producing. And I want to go back to the 5-point compass because I feel like there's so much there. So we're going to circle back to that too.
The bridge between dance and writing and production. Where do I start? Okay. One thing is, you know, something that people say out here in Hollywood is like, you know, network and get out there and meet people. But I think the more important thing is to nurture real relationships.
Agreed.
Right? Have like align yourself with people who are doing either what you're doing or what you want to do or three steps ahead of you. Like align yourself with good people. And then opportunities open in that way. So that's what happened for me. And that's what happened for a couple of people that I know. When I started dancing, I was also writing poetry. So I was a spoken word artist for 5 seconds. And someone who had seen me perform poetry, he saw me in a dance class, because in that building, there are multiple studios. So there are multiple things, multiple artists and creatives in that building doing anything at any given time. So he saw me on stage and then he saw me in the dance class. And after class, he was like, oh, I didn't know you dance too. And I'm like, yeah, he says, he's a writer and producer. And he's like, well, we need dancers for a show that I'm doing. And it pays this amount of money. And all you gotta do is like learn the choreography and dance. Like he made it seem like it was just nothing. I'm like, oh, okay. So I get there And he hands me a script. And I was like, why do I need a script? I'm a dancer. And he's like, yeah, but you are a spoken word artist. Like, I think you're going to be able to tap into this character. And so I was terrified, but this person trusted in me. So he allowed me to trust in myself. I ended up getting one-on-one training with the director, and I ended up moving on to perform across the country and in Belgium and Paris. And, you know, I traveled to so many places as a performer because that one person saw some potential in me. We built a friendship, a relationship in that way. I built a friendship, relationships with everyone in the cast. And then they ended up, everyone in that cast somehow pulled me to be in their piece. I later started producing my own work. I pulled them back into my work, right? And that's how it happened. I've also like cast commercials for the last 5 or 6 years. I don't know if you guys know about real people casting, but it's like if the client is Kellogg's and you know they want to sell cereal, then you get families who have children who actually eat cereal for breakfast. It's that kind of casting. And so I've done that over the years. Well, I got that opportunity, which is a great side gig for someone who is in the industry because there are so many gaps in employment. I got that job from a friend who's in Lady Magic, who was like, you know what? They need people with a big, big network. You have a really big network. I think you would be good at this. I started and I was, you know, an overachiever. I was like, oh, you know, they're paying me, I think it was $150 a day at the time. And I was like, I better get at least 15 people to make it worth it. It was just a random number I had in my head. And they were like, oh, you brought us so many people this week. And so my pay increased just because I was, you know, I was delivering, but also it felt like I was doing a service to my community in that way. You know what I mean? I was giving folks that I knew opportunities that were very unique and fun and that paid well, but that was because that opportunity came from a friend, someone who I had a genuine relationship with, and on and on and on. Like my first job in Hollywood was through someone I knew. It was like, it's always like that.
And so I fell in love with writing. Had you always been writing?
Yeah. I mean, I was a closet writer for a long time. And then, someone introduced me to the poetry scene. It was very Love Jones-like. It was in that era. And, you know, it's in the late 90s. And I remember there was this one spot, I can't remember the name of it, but Dwayne Wiggins of Tony, you know, they're from Oakland. He owned this cafe and ran this this open mic night. I went, and again, my mind was blown. Like, I'm drawn to people with light. I'm drawn to people who are doing the thing that they love. I'm drawn to people with courage. And everyone who got up had, you know, any or all of those qualities, and they were so skilled and so talented. And I was like, I think I could do that. You know, and so even though I wrote more than I got on the mic, I always kind of kept up with that practice, and it turned into a way for me to better understand and better process the things that I was feeling, right? Because I was at first feeling things and just kind of letting the emotions pull me and tug me, and that kind of isn't the best way to operate in my case. And writing allowed me to kind of see what I was thinking and learn how to reframe things just in the editing process, right? In order to better kind of guide me forward.
Yeah, I love that. I do that too with journaling. I maybe don't even sometimes know what I'm feeling or the complete root of it. And then I can journal and see that reflection and see the words on the page and go, oh, and it's illuminating and so helpful.
That's exactly right. You know, I come from a really big family. I have five sisters and a brother. I have, many of them have passed by now, but 16 or 17 aunts and uncles. I have more than 20 first cousins on my father's side. Like, I come from a huge family. So there's a lot of life that has happened. Do you know what I mean? around me, but it also means that we have our share of burdens, right? We have our share of kind of darkness. And a lot of those things that I had to kind of maneuver and manage, I was able to best do so with therapy, you know, with the African dance, but also with writing and just seeing it outside of my body and on the page. It gave me a better way and a better tool to kind of manage.
I love that. Okay, so let's go back to the 5-point compass, because you said the points really quickly, and I want to make sure that I got them. And I want you to take us deeper with what that is, what that means.
Oh, sure. Okay, so the 5-point compass is made up of the heart, the gut, the spirit, the universe, and the ancestors. And I also have a cheat sheet available on my website. It's one sheet and it tells you all of the things and how they distinctly call to you. My website is delinadream.com. But each of those 5 points I find call to us in very specific and distinct ways, right? And this, the compass can be used in our careers, in our families, in our relationship. It's our inner compass that guides us forward, period, right? The heart calls to us by delight and fright, right? So think about a new class that you want to take, a new relationship that you're interested in, something new that you're pretty sure something good is going to happen on the other side, but you're also terrified because it's new and you don't want to try something that's new, or you don't want to look like the newbie or the foolish one or the one who doesn't know what she's doing, like a dance class, right? So the heart calls us with delight and fright. The gut speaks to us with like physical sensation or sudden instinct, and it guides us away from danger or harm. Yes. Right. And that harm can be it can be seen or unseen. Like sometimes we'll be like, oh, it's that. Other times we don't know, but we just feel it in our body and we know it's time to pivot. Do we always pivot? No. But that's what the gut is there to tell us. And it's not always life threatening. Right. It's not always you're going to die from this. It can be you will be betrayed in this situation.
Yes.
This is not the best environment for you to be in, right? But it'll move you away. So it calls to us by physical sensation, or that like sudden instinct. So that's the heart, the gut. The spirit speaks to us in words that are clear, concise, and absolute. So, you know, it's that little voice that's like right here behind your ear, and it doesn't quite have a vocal tone, but at the same time, it sounds like your own voice. It only speaks in like 4 or 5 words, but you hear it and you know it's meant for you to hear. And sometimes you might need some like intuitive interpretation, but you heard the words, right? Spirit is engaging you to help move you forward. The universe uses our environment. So the universe will use other people, technology, nature, animals to speak to us and bring us into the moment to ask, will we match or shift this energy, right? So it's like you're running late one day and the barista is taking too long, and then you get to the elevator right when it closes and like you're just in a frenzy. And, you know, finally you get back in your car and you notice that the moon is shining super bright. And it's like, oh my God, girl, you feel this energy and you see this energy, what you gonna do? You gonna match it or you gonna shift it? You know, you're gonna shift this energy that you have, or you're gonna match the energy of the universe. And so the universe uses the natural and supernatural world to speak to us. And then the final point is the ancestors, or the guiding ancestors. And that's the one that is most unique to us, depending on your background, your cultural beliefs, your spiritual beliefs, religion, and all of those things. The 5th point of the compass is most unique to you. But the way that mine show up is usually through fragrance, through music, right? And my father recently passed, my grandmother recently passed, cousins. And, you know, the ancestors, the guiding ancestors don't have to be related to us. They can be our teachers, previous mentors. They can be people who are younger than us who have passed, right? It all depends on your personal kind of relationship. But my ancestors, guiding ancestors, show up to me essentially to remind me, like, it's a warm presence. It'll remind me to keep going, to keep on keeping on, and to remind me that I'm not alone. It's like, you're okay. Just keep going. You're okay. Keep going. So those are the 5 points of the compass: heart, gut, spirit, universe, and the ancestors. And it's our authentic inner guide to help us navigate Hollywood and beyond.
To help us navigate Hollywood and beyond. We all send and share condolences with you on those recent passings. Do you feel the presence of the people who have just left, who have just departed? I know I do, with those who I was really close to, and I even have gotten signs from them from the other side.
Kaya is trying to make me cry today. Are you guys hanging on? Okay, out there. Kaya, I hear and feel them all the time. There is one pretty recent time that I don't know why I hate to bring this up, but it was during the finals round of the Disney program. I guess it was a pretty critical part in my career, right? And I kept feeling this presence that was making me want to cry. It was a very bizarre thing, but I was like, what is this? I'm not sad. Like, I feel good. I'm energized. You know, I'm making it along. I'm tired, but I'm making it along in this. And I was doing well working on shows and with, you know, with people I liked and all the things, but I was busy. I was moving. And one day, I remember it so clearly. I had finally took a break, and I was in the bathroom applying my face mask, you guys. And, you know, so it was a slow moment. It was an internal moment. I was applying my face mask and I felt that presence again. And I heard, I'm proud of you. And I fell out on the ground and just bawled on my bathroom floor for several moments, because it was very clearly my father, who, two things. Before he passed, this was in the Bay Area, I said, you know, I am really getting this strong sense to move to LA. I feel like it's time for me to move, but I don't want to be away from you. And he said, I can't think of a better time for you to go or a better place for you to be.
Wow.
So I did it. And it's only the Bay Area in LA. So I still visited him, but we were very, very close. So I didn't see him as much. And then right before he passed, he said, my one regret is that I won't see you make it.
Oh my gosh.
So then I, you know, tears, all the things. And I was like, well, yeah, you are, because you're going to be on the other side making it happen. Like, what do you mean? That is your number one focus. Once you get over there, you help us all the kids, all the grandkids, you make sure we're good. So to hear him say that in my bathroom, you know, it was just that assurance for me that was like, oh, I'm still here and I see you and I'm proud of you. So.
That loop. Wow. That's so profound. Oh my gosh. Thank you for sharing that with us, because I feel like that you have that guiding light of this is how to navigate these challenges of navigating this business that can be so difficult. And you've gone to such a deep place to do that navigating, a deep place of listening to yourself, listening to the universe, the ancestors, you're paying attention. And it sounds like that then appeared to you as that 5-point compass, because I've never heard that before from anyone else.
No, it's mine.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I guess that was a question. Is it yours?
It's mine.
You know where it came from, like actually creating a framework and like giving it a name. When I first moved here, I had so many artist friends asking about getting into the industry. Like, how do you get in? Who, you know, did you take any classes? What should my first pilot be about? When do I know it's the right time to move? Like, they were asking all of the very real and valid and kind of technical questions. What's that?
From a place of logic.
That's right. What's the mathematics of it? Like, and I'm like, oh no, there's a science to it. Like there's definitely the, again, like take classes. I've taken several writing classes just to stay in the game, to develop my craft, but also to keep me motivated and to keep me moving forward. Clearly I'm an alum of Entertainment Business School. So I'm, you know, learning the business side of things, but there's an emotional resilience that we have to build.
Yes.
And there's an inner wisdom that we cannot separate from, or we will continuously be bumping against the wall and causing our own suffering, right? The more we are away from our compass, the more suffering we will experience, self-induced suffering will experience.
I was thinking that I was talking about gut instinct, because there have been times where it's like a knowing without knowing why. But I know for myself, I will second guess myself, right? So the knowing comes up and then I go, well, what's that about? Well, where's that coming from? Well, why is that the guidance that I'm getting from inside me? And then I just like run myself over the cliff with the thing that it was trying to prevent me from running straight into. It's taken me a while to really be able to listen to it and honor it, even though I don't logically know why, to go, oh, that's not my door. I shouldn't walk through that door.
That's right. It's a muscle that we have to build. And you'll notice that the mind is not a part of the compass. That is very intentional, right? Because the mind can manipulate. It can make us believe anything that we about ourselves and about other people. The gut don't have time for all that. The gut is yes and no. That's it. And so, you know, after we bump our heads enough time, we will start to listen and not need to know, you know, why that door should have stayed closed, why we shouldn't have forced it open. Mm-hmm. You know, or might, like, we eventually learn, nope, just no. Go this way. What is your heart saying? Follow that, you know?
I don't know how into astrology you are, but Los Angeles, Hollywood, the entertainment business is ruled by Neptune, which is dance and music and all things feeling, and not as much anything from the mind, from the head, from logic. And if you try to apply logic to the entertainment business, it's like, you know, trying to drop a grid on top of the ocean. It's like, no way. No, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you do that? You can't even do it anyway. It's just silly.
It's so interesting. I don't know that much about the planets. I do know that I'm surprised that this area is ruled by something so entertaining, in that when I came here, I was kind of touting my badge as a hyphenate, and I kept being beat over the head with pick a lane. I kept being told you cannot be all of these things.
Oh.
It was a really, really tough battle that I had to fight.
Wait, these external voices. I mean, how much of that do you also think was maybe racism and sexism in those voices coming in saying you can't be all the things?
You know what? Some of that may have been at play, but I think that these were voices of people who were one thing.
Okay.
And so they didn't understand how important it is to be all of the things, or to be all of who you are. You know, someone gave me the best advice a couple of years in, and she said, you don't have to show them everything you are. If you're going there to be a writer, you don't have to talk about you choreographing. If you're producing the thing, you don't have to talk about you dancing. And to me, I was like, I'm not going to you know, shrink myself. And like, it felt like such a betrayal to myself, really. But I learned that, yeah, if you're a writer and you've been a writer for 25 years and you know this path, then that's the path that you're going to try to put in front of my footsteps. And then I have to be the one so in tune with my compass that I know, oh, that ain't my path. I hear you and I can take some of the things that you say, but my gut will tell me immediately, that's not for you. That's not for you. That was not for you. That was something that they're dealing with, that they're working through. That has nothing to do with you. But it takes time. It takes time to kind of build the relationship with that inner knowing again. And it takes time to trust it, you know, and it takes time to build the courage to then follow.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Talk to us about what you're creating now, because you are creating some really interesting things. I love your imagination, and I just see you as such a leader in the space. So talk to us about what you're creating now.
Oh, what am I creating, Kaya? So, you know, I talked about the gaps in employment, right? Particularly since being in LA, but one thing I know for sure is that there's always a way to move forward. The first gap that I had between shows, I decided I wanted to write and produce an album, and I did, because I had, you know, I've written songs before for my plays. All of my plays are interdisciplinary. So I always incorporate poetry and music and things like that. But I'd never created a music project. And so I did that. And then the opportunity came to be an artist in residence at the Kennedy Center, but that was during the writer's strike. And I was in solidarity with the strike. So I said, I'm not gonna write the pilot that I had in my mind that I wanted to work on for my residency. What can I do? And they were really excited about the podcast. Mm-hmm. And that was also during a time where I hadn't worked for a few months. And so I said, okay, I'm gonna produce this thing now. And that turned into an academy. So at the 5-Point Compass Academy, we help you reset your compass, right? And kind of re-engage with each of those points as you move forward on your path as a writer, as a director, as a PA, as a human, as a partner, as all of those things. And I'm launching in a couple of weeks a program to help folks package their fellowships. So from A to Z, from bio to personal narrative, to your project description, the project itself, your work samples, including your pitch decks, like all of the things. I have received over $100,000 in small grants and fellowships. And I've also been on grant panels for organizations and funders. And so The one thing that I recognize is that like all bios and personal narratives are not created equal, right? So it's like your personal statement and your bio should match the story that you're submitting. It should match the project you're submitting. So if I'm submitting a family comedy about a mixed race, mixed religion teen trying to sort through the mixed messages of her life, I shouldn't be talking about my history as an African dancer. No one cares. But I can't talk about my history as an African dancer if I'm writing this dance drama about this young woman who dares to dream a new life. She's self-destructive and dares to dream a new life when she discovers an African dancer.
Oh, that's fascinating. Oh, we're going to keep you so busy. I love that you're doing this. This is so needed.
Yeah. And, you know, it's one of those things, Kaya. It's like I always wanted to kind of turn back around. I was also an educator for a very short time at San Francisco State. My background is in kinesiology and ethnic studies. I taught ethnic studies for a very short period. I always wanted to go back and teach, and I kept feeling like or I kept telling myself, not feeling like, I kept telling myself that I had to reach a certain height in order to teach something, right? And I'm like, there are so many people who haven't written a fellowship yet. I've written 5 million grants and I've received a lot of them, right? I can at least help folks create a competitive package, show them what to look out for, give them the formula of, you know, putting the strategy and the soul together, like using your unique voice to at least stand out and be memorable to the panelists. I can yes. help with that. I can serve in that way. And so I'm excited. And this came when I wasn't working too. It's like, okay, between shows, what can I do to move forward? Like I do know that I'm going to move forward no matter what. What I can control is the thing that's in front of me. There's always work for me to do. The outcome, that's up to spirit, that's up to all of the other things, but there's always work for me to do. So I'm really excited about this space that I've created. I've collaborated with an educator who we've swam around each other in the arts community in the Bay Area for many, many years. She ran Youth Speaks. I'm not sure if you all know of the National Poet, Poetry and Literacy Organization. They run the Brave New Voices competitions throughout the country, but she used to run that organization. I've partnered with her to make sure that it's not all about the creative side, but that there's actually educational components in the structure of my course. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very excited about this. I'm very, very excited. Andrew Seidel, well, we're going to talk after this is over, but I think we know each other. I've seen that before. Okay.
I've always found you so fascinating, and I'm so grateful we had some time to dive in and have this conversation because it's illuminating and inspiring, and I love the work that you're doing. So please share with the listeners how they can find you, how they can follow up, how they can learn more.
Yeah, if you go to delinadream.com, D-E-L-I-N-A, delinadream.com, you can download the cheat sheet. It's free. It's an easy to read one sheet about your 5-point compass, just to keep you reminded about your inner compass. And you can send me an email, delinadream@live, L-I-V-E.com, if you're interested in the course and getting some support and packaging your fellowship applications. Send me an email. Hey, we met in EBS, and I'll be happy to send you the information. Again, we won't be launching for a couple of weeks, but I'm happy to send you information ahead of time.
Oh, thank you so much for being with us today. And I look forward to having you back again too.
Oh, my pleasure. It was really, really my pleasure. Thank you so much, Kaya.
You are welcome.
Thanks for listening to Hollywood Wolfpack. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Please help our pack grow by sharing Hollywood Wolfpack with your friends and colleagues. Give us a rating and write us a review. Kaya loves hearing from you and reads them all. For more on Kaya and the Entertainment Business School, visit entertainmentbusinessleague.com. Until next week, remember, the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack.